A Great and Powerful Legacy by Drake Clawfang. Read by Goombasa. Spike grunted and dumped the roll of scrolls in his arms on the table. There were two piles, one for the scrolls he was delivering, and a much larger pile on the floor of scrolls Twilight Sparkle had already read. She sat at the table with a scroll unfurled in the air in front of her, her eyes not looking away from her reading at Spike's arrival. "Here we go, Twilight. All birth records of unicorns from 700 LS to 900 LS.
"Thank you, Spike."
The Alicorn and Dragon were in a vacant office in the basement of Huffington General Hospital, just off the massive storehouse that was the hospital archives. They had already spent hours poring over documents stretching back before the fall of Nightmare Moon in the era of the Two Sisters. That had been the hardest part, since documents that old were often lost or faded. Fortunately, they had navigated through them, and now Twilight knew she was close to an incredible breakthrough.
Some time earlier, and astral plane beget guiding star, and guiding star beget star swirl the lesser, and star swirl the lesser beget nightshine.
In the Canterlot archives, Twilight backstepped along the floor, her muzzle almost touching the long parchment rolled down the aisle. She passed Spike sitting on a stool, watching her.
"Twilight, aren't we supposed to be doing research on that box the Tree of Harmony spat out?"
"Spike, this could be the greatest discovery since... that," Twilight replied.
She had come to the archives to research the box, yes. Then her curiosity had gotten the better of her, and she had started looking at unrelated texts. By pure chance, she had read a book from a Pegasus named Morning Dew documenting powerful ponies of the tribal era before Celestia and Luna had united Equestria. All it had taken was a comparatively off-hoof mention of Star Swirl's son, Spiral Nova, to set her mind racing. The 3 hours since the reading of that line had been spent scouring the archives for records of family lines. Back then, I am whoever, son of whoever, was very much in style, if a pony had a heritage worth naming. So, thankfully, ponies kept diligent records of their family history. She had been able to confirm that, yes, Star Swirl the Bearded, the most famous and powerful unicorn in the history of Equestria, had a son, Spiral Nova. Between Star Swirl's pioneering in magic eclipsing his personal life and Spiral Nova's apparently lackluster accomplishments, Twilight found that most books these days just never mentioned his son. Now she was on the trail. She had a name to go on and track Spiral Nova through the archives, looking up every book that might mention him. She had finally worked her way down a few generations to a unicorn named Radiant Comet, and that had been her breakthrough. Radiant Comet's name was documented in the family lines of the era, though somehow his ancestors up to Star Swirl were not. Thus, Twilight found herself reading her way down the scroll, tracing Radiant Comet's descendants through the centuries.
And Starlight Murmur beget Twinkling Star and Shooting Star, and Twinkling Star beget Twilight Moon.
Twilight paused for a moment, her ear twitching.
"Spike, do you think I could be a descendant of Star Swirl the Bearded?"
"I don't know."
Spike shrugged and held up his claws. Twilight turned back and eagerly kept reading. The family line of Star Swirl was mercifully direct. There was always the chance that some pony would perish before they could sire any children, but it seemed Star Swirl's line had endured. There were only ever one or two children, and so far universally only one of them had continued the line further, but yet the line endured.
"And Twilight Moon beget Moonlight Oracle."
Twilight stepped back to keep reading and found her muzzle pressed against the carpet. Grunting, she grabbed a scroll from the table to send it unfurling down the aisle, then turned to walk back along its length.
"And Moonlight Oracle beget Cosmic Light."
Eventually, the historical archives had petered out. With Equestria expanding and ponies moving about the country, the scrolls had stopped in the year 508 in the era of the Lone Sister, with Cosmo Vortex, daughter of Star Herald. Fortunately, the scrolls had started keeping track of location as well as family line, for a century or two, anyway. Cosmo Vortex had moved to Huffington, and Twilight and Spike had set off to dig up hospital archives in Huffington General. It had taken hours before they could finally find a birth notice for Cosmo Vortex, daughter of Star Herald, and then the hunt had begun anew. Star Trek, born to Stardust Glimmer in 894 LS. Spike, we're almost there! Twilight smiled in triumph and looked up at Spike. We just need the notices for the last 100 years. She got stars in her eyes and clapped her hooves together eagerly.
Just think, Spike, we are within minutes of discovering a living legend, a direct descendant to the greatest unicorn to ever walk Equestria, the heir of the legacy of Starswirl the Bearded.
Yeah, Spike yawned.
They had gone to Canterlot in the early morning. Now it was almost the morning of the next day. In her excitement, Twilight had worked through the night, and while she might not have been feeling tired, Spike was. He turned to the table piled with scrolls and held out two.
Here we go. The last 100 years up until Luna's return, all unicorn birth records.
Much appreciated. Twilight beamed and took the scrolls in her magic, floating them over to her. She unrolled them and looked over the birth records, scanning the page until she found the name.
Here it is. Stardust Glimmer, in 934, gave birth to a filly named Shinespark. Shinespark, 959, had a son, Lunar Spark, and in 985 he fathered a filly named Beatrix Lulamoon.
Twilight looked over the scroll and blinked.
That's it, Spike. That's the last entry.
Spike didn't hear her. He had curled up on the floor to nap. A snore was the answer she got, but Twilight didn't notice.
The last entry. Beatrix Lulamoon.
Twilight looked up from the scroll, her eyes as wide as the grin on her face.
Starswirl's current living direct descendant is named Beatrix Lulamoon, born right here in Hoofington, and she's my age!
Instantly, a flurry of fantasies filled Twilight's mind, the heir to one of the greatest legacies in Equestria history, and a mare of her age. A new teacher, a new friend, a new chapter in her life. All the long-lost magics they had kept secret, the heirlooms and relics they had held on to, the stories that had been passed down. Twilight jumped up and slammed her hooves on the table, waking Spike with a scream.
Spike, get me the city directory!
The citizens of downtown Hoofington gave Twilight a large berth as she walked their streets. Twilight supposed none of them were used to an alicorn in their midst.
Oh, this is going to be so wonderful. Spike, we are going to meet a direct relative of Starswirl the Bearded.
Or perhaps it was the fact she was almost dancing on the pavement with the widest grin any of the townsfolk had ever seen on a pony older than 12 years old.
Yeah, gonna be awesome, Spike muttered.
Twilight didn't notice his lack of enthusiasm.
I wonder what she's like. Oh, I hope she's friendly. She could teach me so much.
Twilight gasped and whipped around to grab Spike in her hooves.
Maybe we'll become best friends and she'd want to move to Ponyville with me. We could be neighbors. No, roommates!
Twilight turned back and let go of Spike, the dragon dropping to the ground.
You're planning to meet her like this?
Spike picked himself up and dusted himself off. Twilight cleared her throat and took a deep breath.
Yes, you're right, Spike. Absolutely right. We have to be calm, collected. Oh, pony feathers, I should have brought my Starswirl costume for her to sign.
The two turned the corner to find a street lined with apartment complexes, and Twilight looked up to watch the building numbers, counting them off until she saw the one she had been waiting for.
There it is! 365 Hoofing Street.
She galloped to the bottom of the stairs, leading to the apartments, and rushed up them, Spike hurrying after her. Twilight looked over the directory in the lobby.
Lulamoon, apartment 203.
An earth pony stallion came out, and Twilight caught the door and headed inside with Spike. There were two elevators up, one just opening to let out a unicorn stallion, and Twilight ducked inside, raising a hoof to push the button for the second floor.
I should have thought about what I was going to say. Should I introduce myself or tell her why I'm here? What if she feels intimidated over meeting a princess? Or maybe she'll be offended I'm not in my royal regalia to meet some pony so important. Spike, did we bring my crown?
No.
Oh, I hope she isn't angry.
The elevator opened and Twilight grew quiet. She stepped out and looked down the hall. Walking slowly, her mind raced, wondering what she would say, what she would ask, how she would act. The door numbers counted off. 207, 205. Twilight came to a stop outside apartment 203. She swallowed and took several deep breaths.
Here we are, Spike. Get ready. We are about to make history and the present collide.
Twilight raised a hoof and gave three sharp knocks. Several seconds passed with no response. Twilight strained her ears to listen, but no sound came from beyond the door. Frowning, she raised a hoof and knocked again.
Yeah, knock it off!
Twilight's eyes widened at the voice, and she looked down at Spike.
Did that voice sound familiar to you?
She whispered. Spike shrugged. Before Twilight could ponder this more, the voice spoke again, closer to the door this time.
The great and powerful Trixie would remind you that her rent is not due until the first of the month, and she will be perfectly on time, as she always is.
The tenant pulled the door open as she spoke, revealing a very familiar light blue unicorn mare, with her eyes closed and her nose turned up in contempt. Twilight's jaw dropped, and she stared in shock.
Trixie!
Trixie opened her eyes and froze at the sight of Twilight and Spike standing outside her door. 3 seconds passed of the two of them staring before Trixie slammed the door in Twilight's face.
What do you know? We've already met her. Let's go home.
Spike began to walk down the hall, and a violet aura of magic surrounded him and floated him back to Twilight's side with a glare waiting for him.
I guess she remembers us,
Twilight said, looking back at the door. She raised a hoof to knock, gentler than before. She could hear movement inside and slowly twisted the door handle to push it open just an inch.
Trixie?
The inside of the apartment was very modestly furnished. A couch, a bookshelf, a table with a half-finished plate of hay fries on it. Twilight pushed the door open wider and took a cautious step inside. She heard movement from another room separated by a curtain of blue and silver beads hanging from the frame, and Trixie came through, a suitcase floating behind her. She didn't look at Twilight or even acknowledge her presence. Instead, she began grabbing books off the shelf and throwing them into the suitcase, which already held an assortment of cloaks, hats, and smaller magical props.
Trixie always knew the day would come sooner or later. It was all over the papers, Equestria's newest princess from Ponyville. Trixie began to wait right that moment. She didn't think it would take this long, but here we are.
As she spoke, Trixie finished tossing her books into the suitcase and then grabbed a few other knick-knacks from other shelves and tables, tossing them inside and clicking it shut.
What are you talking about?
Twilight watched in confusion as Trixie finally turned to face her and came to stand in front of her, dropping her suitcase beside her. Then she dropped down and stuck her hooves out in front of her, pressing her muzzle into the carpet.
Princess Twilight Sparkle, I, the humble and apologetic Trixie, place myself at your mercy and accept my punishment. Trixie begs you, in your infinite wisdom and kindness, that you do not banish her to the moon for any more than 10 years. Even 15 would be light, but please, show Trixie mercy. Also, please allow Trixie to bring some of her things. She has packed light. It should not take much effort.
Banished to what now? Twilight made a face and knelt down.
Trixie, I'm not banishing you to the moon.
Trixie tilted her head up and narrowed her eyes.
Come again?
I'm not here to punish you, and even if I was, I certainly wouldn't banish you to the moon. Twilight cocked her head and thought.
I'm not even sure if I could.
Trixie climbed to her hooves, but kept her head low.
Oh, great Princess Twilight Sparkle, your mercy is much appreciated. The free and acquitted Trixie thanks you for your generosity and will tell all she meets of the glory of your name and the compassion of your decision.
Trixie, stop calling me Princess.
As the Princess commands.
Twilight grunted in frustration and gently took Trixie's head in her magic to tilt it up until they were facing each other.
Trixie, I am not here to get any sort of revenge or force any sort of punishment on you, and if you please, Twilight will do just fine.
The glow over Trixie's head faded, and she shuffled her hooves nervously.
Yes, well then, Twilight,
If it pleases you to fulfill her request, the great and subservient Trixie would ask, what are you doing in her humble apartment?
Well, kinda a long story, actually. Twilight chuckled nervously.
Yeah, 24 hours long, Spike grumbled.
Twilight bumped him with her hind hoof. Her thoughts about what to say came back to her, but now they didn't seem of much importance. Her enthusiasm had deflated the moment she saw Trixie open the door.
You see, Trixie, Spike and I were doing some research in the Canterlot archives. What do you know about Star Swirl the Bearded?
Trixie is quite well-versed in equestrian history. Most of Star Swirl's spells are of no importance to one of Trixie's profession, but she has read of them.
Really?
Twilight couldn't help her surprise, and Trixie shared it in response.
I mean, just, that's interesting. You see, Trixie, Star Swirl had a son, and he... Well, we trace the family line through the centuries. Really amazing that it survived intact for so long. The records were quite diligent, but anyway, we trace the line, and it seems...
Twilight took a deep breath and just said it.
We tracked it to a filly named Shinespark, who was the mother of a stallion named Lunarspark, and... yeah.
Trixie didn't show any visible reaction for some time. She just stared at Twilight, blinking now and then, her body not moving a muscle. Twilight looked around the room awkwardly.
Trixie?
Trixie spoke slowly.
Princess Twilight, does Trixie misunderstand? Or are you telling her she is a descendant of the greatest and most powerful unicorn in history?
Yes, I am.
Twilight nodded, and Trixie gasped sharply, then spun around and dashed from the room, blue beads dangling in her wake. Twilight approached them and parted them to see Trixie in her bedroom. She was rifling through her closet, tossing clothes and props behind her onto the bed in auras of light pink magic. Various colored cloaks, hats, and other garments lay among plastic swords, magic wands, and small curtain rods with colored curtains.
I always knew I wasn't like other unicorns,
Trixie called from the closet.
I always felt different when I used magic. Even as a foal, I knew I was special. But to be descended from Star Swirl, this is even better than I had ever thought.
Way to go, we fed her ego, Spike said from the living room. Because it wasn't bloated enough already.
Twilight hushed him over her shoulder. Trixie emerged from her closet wearing a dark blue hat and matching cloak, both with star and moon patterns drawn on them in marker. They looked damp and old and had frayed threads on the edges.
Trixie dressed as Star Swirl for Nightmare Night every year as a filly. It was a sign. Even back then I knew somehow.
Trixie turned to show the costume off.
You forgot the bells.
Twilight couldn't stop herself. Trixie made a face, and her magic unclasped the cloak and tossed the garment onto the bed.
Yes, well, Trixie made it herself, and she didn't know how to sew yet.
Trixie turned back to the closet and began going through her things again.
Trixie has put some of these things aside. She's a living relic now, a blast from the past. These could be in a museum some day.
A magic wand hit the bed and snapped together to form a bouquet of plastic flowers, followed by a trio of silver rings and a line of colored hoofkerchiefs tied together.
I think I've seen them on display in toy stores.
Twilight ignored Spike's mumbling and came further into the room.
Trixie, are you telling me you really never knew you had such a famous ancestor?
Trixie's head emerged from the closet, her face scrunched in thought.
Well, Grandmother Shinespark always said we had a family history of powerful sorcerers, but she also said parasprites snuck into her room at night to eat her pillow stuffing. I didn't pay much attention either way.
It's not surprising, I guess, Twilight said. After the banishment of Nightmare Moon, there were Luna's sympathizers who called for her release. Your ancestor at the time was Lunar Divine, named in honor of the princess, and one of their most vocal. In the generations after, a lot of ponies quietly disowned themselves from their ancestors to avoid being associated with troublemakers.
Really? So, if Trixie were to present herself to Princess Luna and brought this up,
it could get Trixie a princess's favor? Trixie asked.
Well, I don't know about... Perhaps she'd take me on as a student. Celestia did it all the time. Why not Luna? I suppose I'd have to move to Canterlot. Not a great loss.
Trixie, don't you think you're getting a little ahead of yourself? Twilight asked.
Twi, on the way here, you discussed the idea of her moving in with you, Spike said. Twilight blushed and kicked him again, but Trixie had heard.
You? You would take Trixie as an apprentice? Princess Twilight, the illustrious and well-bred Trixie, is honored by your consideration, but she wonders if our past conflicts would make this a poor venture.
I did not come here to invite you to be my student, Twilight cried. I just thought it would be neat to meet the living descendant of the greatest unicorn in history.
She grew quiet again and looked sheepish.
And, well, when I saw it was you, I wasn't sure where to go from there.
Trixie watched Twilight's reaction and tossed a collapsible sword into the closet.
Trixie supposes she understands.
She looked at the pile of magician props on her bed, which had grown so large some had fallen to the carpet.
I guess when one imagines the descendant of one of Equestria's greatest heroes, I'm not exactly what comes to mind.
Well, that's not what I meant, but...
Twilight struggled to try and express her thoughts on the matter without offending.
I just thought I would meet some pony with a long and glorious history of magic users, maybe family heirlooms passed down through centuries, or ancient forgotten spells kept in the family line. And I'm guessing you don't have any of those.
Well, no. There is this, though.
Trixie's horn glowed as a yellowed scroll in a clear glass holder floated from her closet.
According to Grandmother Shinespark, this has been in the family since our ancestors first came to Hoofington centuries ago.
Really?
Twilight almost snatched the scroll container from Trixie to see for herself. Her eyes had lit up again.
What is it?
The secret family recipe for our daffodil soup.
Twilight deflated again.
Daffodil soup?
Your family passed down soup recipes over magic relics? Spike was equally unenthused by the revelation.
Yeah, it's a good recipe, at least. Deliciously spiced.
Trixie sighed and floated the scroll back onto the closet shelf.
I'm sort of disappointed myself. Aside from your research, my relationship to Starswirl won't mean much. Even if I tell others about it, it's hard to believe, and I'm not up to carrying around a scroll tracking my family line to prove it to them.
That's true. Sorry, I guess we sort of got carried away in the excitement,
Twilight said.
Yeah. Yet Trixie is grateful, Twilight Sparkle.
Trixie smiled. It was obviously fake, but Twilight returned it anyway. Looking at her bed, Trixie floated her trademark purple hat and cloak over to her and put them on, the jeweled clasp clicking shut around her neck.
At least Trixie looks the part, yes?
The smile was more genuine this time.
That she does. That look really does suit you well, Twilight said. Thank you. Trixie's grandmother gave them to her when Trixie went into the stage business. She said they had brought our family luck for generations.
As Trixie turned her head to look over the garment, Twilight came closer to do the same. Her time with Rarity had granted her a working knowledge of craftsmanship when regards to clothing, and it came to her mind now. In many areas close up, one could see the cape had been torn, or had worn out or faded, but unless one knew what to look for, it was hard to tell. The cape was meticulously cared for. Every sign of age and wear had been repaired with a delicate and skilled hoof. The hat, similarly, had subtle signs of greater age than it seemed at first. An idea came to Twilight's mind.
Trixie, your grandmother said these were in the family for generations?
Yes. She also said that Pegasi were conspiring to take over Equestria by holding our weather clouds hostage. Grandmother Shinespark said a lot of things.
Maybe, but these...
Twilight's eyes fell on the gemstone, on the clasp of the cloak.
May I have a look? Trixie supposes...
The clasp opened, and Trixie floated the cloak to Twilight in an aura of light pink magic. The aura darkened to violet as Twilight took it to examine it. The clasp was a simple aquamarine gem set into a metal setting, the setting holding it in place with four arms bent into carvings in the back of the gem. A lever of metal with an orb on the end slid over a pair of metal orbs behind the setting to hold the cloak around the user's neck.
This is odd. This metal should have begun to corrode or rust or something, if it really was as old as your grandmother.
One would think.
What of it? Trixie replied. Twilight held the gemstone to her eye and peered at it closely, turning it over to look at the setting.
There's something behind it.
What? Trixie tilted her head.
I can see something through the gemstone, and judging from the size and shape of the metal, I think there's a tiny compartment behind the gem.
Twilight finished her explanation and let the gem down from her closer inspection.
I can't see clearly enough through the gem to tell what it is, but it does look like...
She was cut off by Trixie's magic seizing the cloak and floating it back to her. With a small squeak of metal, the arms holding the gem in place were wrenched out of their settings, and the gemstone parted from the metal it rested on.
Trixie prefers simple solutions, she said, floating the cloak back in front of Twilight.
Twilight looked over in, stunned.
But, Trixie, you said this was a family heirloom.
Trixie still has the soup recipe.
Trixie shrugged, and Twilight slowly turned her attention to the cloak in her telekinesis. As she had thought, the metal had bent back enough for a very small object to be hidden behind the gem. Twilight plucked it from the setting and floated the cloak and gemstone over to Spike to take hold of.
No snacking, she said, not looking.
Spike made a face and wrapped the gemstone in a cloth to hide the temptation. Carefully turning the small object in her magic, not wanting to damage something potentially centuries upon centuries old, Twilight realized what it was.
It's a scroll.
A what?
Trixie walked up to her. A very fine piece of rolled-up parchment paper was floating between them, so small it could fit in their hooves.
It must have been shrunk down. Hang on.
Twilight focused her energy into her horn, and the scroll returned to its original dimensions, just long enough to touch the floor while floating. The letters were ancient, and Twilight thanked her studies of Star Swirl's writings because this was definitely ancient equestrian written down. Barely containing her excitement, she read out to Trixie and Spike.
Mine dearest Spiral Nova, mine time is nearly past in this world, and thine time has already begun. The promise thou displays in thy studies is truly inspiring, and if I could have but one child, I grateful it is thee. I am sure thou will become a great sorcerer in thy own right some day. As I prepare to live out mine final years in peace, I find mine self reflecting not on what I have accomplished, but what I have not. Thy say mine research on magic will be studied years from now, and for this I am proud. Yet there is much I have not done, that I now wish I had. The call for the nobility to produce heirs is what conceived thee, not any love I had for thy mother, the founders rest her spirit. And while I have had many admirers, students, and apprentices, always there has been a barrier between I and they. Though thou will undoubtedly become great, mine hope now is that thee will become even greater than I was. Mine hope is that thee will come to know the one magic I could never master, the magic that eluded me all mine life, no matter how I sought it. With these garments, I give thee a wish, that they will guide thee to this greatest of magics some day, the magic of friendship. Twilight slowly lowered the letter, stunned. It's signed Star Swirl.
Trixie took the scroll in her magic and turned to look at the words herself. However, she was unable to read the text, and with a small sigh, rolled the parchment up.
There's my proof, then. Trixie set the parchment on the edge of the bed beside her. I was hoping to be left something hidden for us to find. It would be something... well, not that. An ancient relic or something would be nice.
He did leave us something great to find, Trixie, Twilight said. Celestia told me when I became a princess, as great as Star Swirl was, he didn't know what true friendship was, and could not understand the power it held. Twilight took the cloak and gem from Spike and carefully put the gem back in its place, folding the metal arms in to hold it. This was his gift to his son, hope that his son would know the friendship he never did. And did he? Trixie turned her head to look at Twilight. Well, not really. The information I could find on Spiral Nova said he lived a life of mediocre success, but he was pressured to live up to his father's name. After that, people kept track of the family line, of course, but none of them were even half as great as Star Swirl. Then Nightmare Moon came, and the family didn't care to admit their ancestry anymore. Well, that's that, then. Trixie took the cloak and hat from Twilight. After some thought, she clipped the cloak back around her neck and put the hat back on. Star Swirl's legacy to his descendants was loneliness and inferiority because of his fame. They live in the shadow until somewhere down the line they became pariahs. That's not true, Trixie. His legacy was hope. Hope his descendants would find the companionship he didn't. It wasn't an empty hope, either. Surely some of them knew friendship. And you do too, right? That's a legacy worth holding on to. Trixie slowly turned her head to look at Twilight. Trixie is a showmare. She has little time to make friends on the road, and at home no pony knows her. I meant me, Trixie. Twilight smiled warmly, but Trixie was taken aback. Friends? Us? Of course. Twilight tilted her head, and her smile turned awkward. Well, okay, you have sort of tried to take over Ponyville and exile me into the Everfree Forest. That was the amulet. Bad example. Twilight shook her head. It's behind you now, right? You came back to town afterwards to make amends, and the Ursa incident wasn't really your fault anyway. Wish the paper saw it that way, Trixie grumbled. The point is, yes. We're friends. If it's all right with you, that is. Twilight held out a hoof. Looking between it and her smile suspiciously, Trixie slowly reached out. Rather than press them together, she hesitated, then bumped Twilight's hoof with her own. Friends. Good, Twilight nodded. The gemstone around Trixie's neck flashed, and her head tilted back, her eyes lit up in a blue light. Twilight gasped and took a step back. Trixie? Trixie didn't respond, the light from her eyes shining lines of color onto the ceiling. After a few more seconds, they subsided, and Trixie fell onto her flank, groaning and swaying.
Whoa.
Trixie blinked rapidly, her eyes dazed.
That was a rush.
Twilight looked down at the gemstone. It seemed duller in color somehow now, its radiance lessened.
What was that, Trixie? That? Oh, wow.
Trixie slowly stood up, stumbling slightly.
That was magic. I feel so... just wow.
Trixie looked around the room, as if seeing it for the first time.
I feel energized, like every part of my body is tingling. Is this what it feels like to be a princess?
Not quite, though it is what it's like when you get supercharged on magic, Twilight replied.
It'll simmer down eventually, though if the gemstone really did grant you stronger powers, you'll have to be careful. It's hard to say how it could have affected you. You should see some pony who can test your magic levels and...
Yeah, later. Trixie nodded eagerly and talked faster than usual.
I gotta go and, like, do something now! Get out of here and do something! We're friends, right? Let's go to lunch!
Sure, we can do that. What did you have in mind?
I know, it's, around... Let me try something.
Trixie stepped up closer to Twilight and closed her eyes. Her horn glowed pink, and with a like-color flash of light, the two ponies vanished from the room. Spike pushed aside the beads and looked at the spot where Twilight and Trixie had been before she teleported them away. He shrugged and hopped in the bed, curled up beside the mess of clothing Trixie had left behind, and yawned. There was a flash of violet light.
Sorry, Spike, she never teleported before, and she forgot...
Twilight trailed off as Spike looked over at her, and she saw what he was doing.
Never mind. We'll be back.
She teleported away, and Spike lay his head down.
It's surprising what a pony can learn about themselves, and their future, by looking at their past. You can get a new understanding of where you've come from, and you're going, and it can change your life in ways you didn't think it would. Recently, a new friend of mine made such a life-changing discovery, and it's like she's a completely different pony.
There was a rumbling from outside, and Twilight turned her head away from the friendship journal, her quill lifting from the page. She saw colored lights glowing outside, and heard a voice added by magical projection through her window.
"Citizens of Ponyville! Once she had come before you as a boastful showmare, and once as a vengeful tyrant, but now making her third appearance with new illusions that will dazzle and astound, welcome back the one, the only, the great and powerful Trixie!"
Twilight sighed and looked back at the journal, putting the quill back to the page.
Well, maybe not completely different. But she definitely has changed. It is proof that no matter what might happen to a pony, or what they might do, if they have the will to let friendship into their heart, and some pony else has the will to give it to them, then there's always a second chance for them. Now a missing piece of her past has been brought into the present, and a bright new future awaits her.
Twilight set her quill down and headed to the door.
"Come on, Spike, let's go," she called back into the library.
"We going to watch the new show or to make sure no pony starts any trouble with her?"
"Yes."
The End.